This is Scenic Roots. I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for joining us. Recently, the Chattanooga Area Chamber of Commerce unveiled a CEO pledge for racial equity. At last count, on the chamber's website, 70 local business leaders have signed the pledge, an invitation to, quote, intentionally enhance efforts to achieve equity of opportunity within organizations and the broader Chattanooga community. Christy Gillenwater is the Chamber's president and CEO. Val Armstrong is chair of the Chamber's board of directors. And at American Water, she is chief inclusion officer and vice president for external affairs. Christy, Val, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, Ray.
We're talking about the CEO pledge. Just summarize what the pledge stands for, how it was drafted.
The pledge goes back quite a ways in terms of the pathway to it. It all really started when, going back nearly 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, when we embarked on Velocity 2040 and community visioning work. And what we found, Ray, in that process is that when we asked community leaders who were involved in that work, and then when we took their body of work out to the public, and we had nearly 5,000 responses, people very clearly said, good schools and good jobs are not available to everyone. And that was really concerning and something that we had been hearing, but wanting to lift that up and think through, okay, then what needs to be done in what order? People were very clear that we needed good schools for everyone. We needed good jobs for everyone. And we needed to provide career pathways that enabled people to secure those jobs. And as we started unpacking that 20-year vision that became Velocity 2040, and the work around ensuring everyone in our community could thrive, the chamber then embarked on Chattanooga Climbs. We had 800 volunteers contributing 900 hours to that work. And in that work, we again heard the need for everyone in our community to be able to thrive and ideas on how to bring that to life. And that came about in a variety of ways, thinking about where jobs are placed in the community, thinking about talent pipelines that are embedded within all pockets of our community and accessible to more pockets of our community. And it also came about in terms of, are we building an inclusive economy and an intentionally inclusive set of workplaces where individuals feel like they can be successful? And so that work really led us to a number of steps, one very important one being the racial equity pledge. And so when we were fortunate enough to be able to hire Lawrence Deely, our new vice president of diversity and inclusive growth, one of the first focal areas, and we heard this from businesses who said, we need help with talent. We have currently 12,000 open jobs listed on Chattanooga Calling. And companies have told us left and right, we have a severe challenge as it relates to talent across the board, entry level, four-year degree, as well as diverse talent attraction and retention. And so the pledge was an idea that several employers had talked to us about, hey, let's work together. We need help in our individual companies. Can you pull together our company and others like us who want to work on this body of work together so that we can be intentional about building more inclusive and more sticky places to work? So that really led to several months of work, working with DE&I specialists, bringing in other folks, and talking through the content of what that pledge document should look like. Lauren also really studied what other chambers had lifted up, the language they had lifted up, what was happening in other communities so that we could remain globally competitive and make sure that we were paying attention to language and words used and being lifted up by other chambers as well. So that's a lot of kind of the process that led to the document itself. Val, I'll let you build on that.
And thanks, Christy. I think Christy just did a phenomenal job really laying out what initial conversations were underway. And I'll speak about it from a member perspective, also kind of being chair of the board. But in my role with American Water and Chief Inclusion Officer for our company, I have the ability and really the opportunity to work with our entire demographic, geographic footprint across the country. And what we're seeing is that this conversation around talent recruitment, talent retention, it's an issue that a lot of organizations are dealing with. And in the space of that is how do we create an inclusive and a diverse culture within our organizations that will allow for us to be able to have the best talent, the best individuals at the table for us to have a very positive impact on our business, as well as on our communities. So a lot of what Christy spoke to is not just conversations here in Chattanooga that our members were sharing with us and some of the challenges that they were facing and continue to face. And quite frankly, that over the last 12 months during the pandemic have presented themselves in a more accelerated fashion for us. But it's something that we're seeing across the country in other areas. I can speak about Missouri and Pennsylvania, as well as Kentucky and West Virginia, which is where a lot of our locations and footprints are located for American Water. And the chambers there are having these same conversations, the exact same conversations on what more can we do in this space. We're listening to our members and then ultimately being able to put some solutions out there. This CEO racial equity pledge isn't the end all be all. It's a commitment. It's about what organizations are pledging and making a commitment that they're going to do. But ultimately, what's the bottom line impact is for organizations to really go back and look at themselves internally and think about what more resources they need, but also how can we partner at the table with them to be able to close some of the gaps that they're dealing with.
As you say, this is a starting point. It's not the last word by any means. And the pledge by itself does not obligate the businesses who sign on to take any specific actions. It points them in a direction. But what might that look like from businesses here in the Chattanooga area trying to follow through on that pledge in the next few years?
From our organization, what that looks like is spending time evaluating ourselves internally, thinking about what's the diversity of our workforce, where are there talent gaps that we see? Maybe they're in certain roles and certain positions. And then also, are we seeing that there are other businesses that are recruiting our employees? Because as we are coming out of the pandemic and we're moving back into the workplace, employees have a different level of expectations now around workplace flexibility and remote working. And so for us, it's about creating that dialogue of what resources can we put in place, policies that will allow for us to be able to retain our talent, but also retain our diverse talent that we have. And then it's about evaluating talent review, succession planning, mentoring programs, working through our talent recruitment teams and identifying, you know, are there opportunities for expanding our recruitment within certain areas? And so there's a lot of work that happens internally there, Ray, with this. And most importantly, though, it does have to start at the top. And I believe that's where having that commitment from a CEO within the organization allows for those others in certain vice president or leadership roles to know and have a level of comfort that this is a direction that we're moving into. And now it's about creating collaborative relationships internally and working together to determine how we want to accomplish that. And each company is going to probably approach it a little bit differently because they're in different spaces. Everybody is starting in a different area and in a different focus. But I think it ultimately comes back down to having the best talent, having the best individuals to be able to accomplish and achieve the business results that we've set for ourselves. And then also creating that inclusive Chattanooga and Hamilton County that we strive for.
Just adding, in such a competitive place for talent, like she said, I mean, globally competitive for talent and for products and services, more and more companies are interested in learning from one another. And so the other component of this, like I mentioned earlier, is bringing companies together. And like Val just articulated, you're working through that body of work internally, but then also sharing that journey with others so that they can learn from one another, right? And so we have companies on a variety of spectrums in this space right now. You have some that have been recognized for their diversity and equity inclusion work. You have some who signed the pledge who are really early in this body of work. And so to bring everyone together and learn best practices, every company culture is different. And like she said, you know, you have some headquartered here, you have some who are not headquartered here, but they have a presence here. All those factors play into the equation. Do they sell product globally? Do they hire talent globally or locally only? I mean, these kind of factors are relevant, but at the same time, there's so much that can be learned together. You know, you even think about supplier diversity, and that was, you know, an intentional comment in the pledge. You know, how can we think more clearly about that and learn from one another about steps in the procurement process that can be included or that companies can think about that support more diverse companies within our region?
And how is this meant to address disparities, not only within these businesses that are committed to it, but beyond those businesses in the community, disparities from wealth to learning outcomes?
To us, this is part of the fabric, right? It's creating more job opportunities for all, creating opportunities for entrepreneurs to really soar. You know, I think about the Pathway Lending announcement, and I think about Charlie Brock's leadership and helping to bring that to Chattanooga and the foundations and private companies, the city and others who have really circled around that work. So from a financing standpoint, the banks that supported that, that is fantastic. And so as we see more opportunities to grow diverse companies, then that opportunity to link them, again, with larger employers who have supplier diversity opportunities to really grow that wealth and enhance that entrepreneur's success ability here in our community is critical. Not to mention, I think back of some high school students I met with a couple of years ago in our building. They were diverse. And they said, we're not staying in Chattanooga. And, you know, when I unpacked that, I realized, wow, we need to be more intentional creating opportunities for students to learn about the types of careers that are right here in Chattanooga and people in the community of all walks of life who are living in those careers today. So how can we create more accessibility points for individuals, particularly younger in their career, even to see people of all walks of life living out their dreams, living out their prosperity right here in Chattanooga and Hamilton County? And how can we lift up and inspire more to do just the same? So we see this pledge as one component in this larger body of work and partnering with many other organizations to move it forward.
And Ray, I'll speak to it from a personal perspective. I'm a first generation college graduate in my family, and my brother was the second in our family. And this is from a grandmother who had 10 children, and my mother had four. And of those four and 30 some odd grandchildren, we were the two that my brother and I who went to college and graduated. And being able to be afforded that education, but also more importantly, a job in an organization that has impacted my financial wealth, the financial stability of my family, creating a bit more of generational wealth as well that wasn't there before is huge. And the impacts that these opportunities can have on communities of color, communities of individuals that are in underrepresented groups is huge. So it truly is a bit of a village, is how I describe it. The racial equity pledge is one piece of it, but you've got the educational aspect that Chrissy spoke about, tons of great resources and partners that we have through the chamber that create this ecosystem that provides for a thriving community, but it also provides for a thriving individual to be able to grow. And what I like to say of being a part of this Chattanooga way, this Chattanooga life, and creating an opportunity for individuals that they may have never even seen for themselves just because of their particular background and upbringing that, you know, wasn't afforded to their parents or others. It's huge in regards to the wealth impact in our communities, but just from a familial standpoint and the impact that it has on families long term.
Talk more about the systemic racism aspect of the pledge, what it means, why it's there, and what you would say to people who have criticized that. These words and concepts associated with these words are flashpoint in this day and age, not just here in Chattanooga, but we're talking about the state legislature in Nashville related to other matters or in other parts of the country.
And Ray, you know, we brought up earlier that these conversations are happening in other communities, right? And so throughout our country, there is community-wide work happening at the national level, et cetera, around how can we face these challenges and move forward so that there is a more prosperous future for more of our residents in the future. And so I think that's really where we're trying to focus is how can we take this body of work and enhance the trajectory for more of our individuals as we move forward. The past is the past, and how can we learn from it and be very intentional about building a more inclusive economy in the future, because it's necessary for us to remain globally competitive and create opportunities for more people to be successful in our future. Because otherwise, we stand here and look up and look at what other communities are doing. And that's something our organization is very focused on from an economic development, a talent development standpoint. And others are being extremely aggressive about this space. And it's extremely important for us to do so as well.
And I will add to it, I'm not a history buff by any means. I actually enjoyed math in school. So Ray, this is a good question here. But I think when you think about history, history is in the books. You cannot change history. You cannot change the civil rights movement. You cannot change those things that have occurred throughout global history or U.S. history. What we can control is how we move forward and how we handle and address the issues that we continue to be faced with as a country, as a community. And I think from a chamber perspective, from a member perspective, that it's responsible and it's really our obligation as a chamber to ensure that we're listening and working with our members on areas that are important to them. And the areas that are important to them are in this talent space. It's important to me as a member and my company as a member, talent recruitment, talent retention. But then also, how do we begin to bring other businesses to the area from a growth standpoint? And that's something that we hear about from companies is, what's the diversity of your community? What does that inclusivity look like in regards to, if I'm bringing my company here, I want my employees, one, to feel that they can be a part of that community, but I also want to be sure that I'm able to deliver on business expectations that I've set for myself as a company. And oh, by the way, that means that I want to have a diverse workforce that I can pull from. So it's critical for us as a chamber, but to be responsible there in our member ask and the needs of our members. But what this all does is it continues to enhance and place Chattanooga, Hamilton County on the spectrum as that desired destination for individuals to want to live and want to work and raise a family here.
And going forward, how will you be measuring the progress on this?
We're extremely excited that we just celebrated Diversify. And so those links will be going live for those who want to check that out, featuring Rick Wade from the U.S. Chamber. The U.S. Chamber has been a leader in this. Other chambers have been leaders in terms of how they're tracking progress on their CEO pledge. And one of the things we have done is we just last week sent out an invitation to all of those who signed it to have leaders within their organization who have that diversity, inclusive growth, the building an inclusive workplace, you know, component of their work, that we'd like to convene them and start looking at how might we move this forward? What kinds of things are they most focused on? And then that will help us determine what metrics, like, if diverse talent is the main pain point, because we do hear that a lot, as well as the procurement piece from an entrepreneurial ecosystem and enhancing that, okay, then what are those key metrics we want to track? And there are some really great examples out there. Buffalo, New York has done some fantastic work in the procurement space. You know, again, the Pathway Lending announcement, Pathways, they're familiar with some great community work around supplier diversity metrics as well. So it's something we're trying to build it together. together what that will look like, because it will take the companies walking alongside of us, working to, you know, share their individual efforts, right, and their individual metrics, so that then we can aggregate it. So we'll have to get a baseline once we figure out what we want to track. Okay, what are our baseline numbers? And then what are their individual goals? And then aggregate that and then follow those numbers to make sure we're making progress. So it's something we've batted around a few ideas. Again, like I mentioned, looked at some best in class examples, but we think it's important. The usual, you know, Chattanooga, we like to do things. We like to be bold. We like to be innovative. So let's pay attention to what others are doing, but also build it so that it's intentionally curated for Chattanooga.
And for people who want more information, where can they go online?
They can check out our website, chattanoogachamber.com. They can sign the pledge, look more in terms of the detail there. Go ahead and sign the pledge. Again, we invite companies who would like to walk with us in this body of work together. It's a journey. You know, we're all learning together, and it's exciting because there is no right or wrong answer. You know, it's learning from one another, being intentional, coming to the table with, you know, a positive viewpoint on how to move forward. And, you know, again, some folks have more answers than others, and that's okay. We'll learn together as we move forward. But we are just so excited about this important work in our community. Again, making Chattanooga a place where everyone can be successful. We know that's the case. And bringing more people into the fabric of our community and continuing to move forward is something we're honored to be a part of and partner with so many companies and so many partner organizations in building an inclusive economy. So thank you.
All right, Christy, Val, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ray.
Bye.
Greater Chattanooga is a series of short films from WTCI PBS, our public media partner here in the Chattanooga area. The films explore the people and ideas that make us more aware, happier, and stronger as a community. In its latest film, Greater Chattanooga shows The Wings of Change, how the Tennessee Sandhill Crane Festival celebrated the return of the birds to Hiwassee Refuge near Birchwood, Tennessee, earlier this year.
Sandhill cranes are amazing birds, but they are an animal with a comeback story. The Sandhill Crane Festival is a yearly celebration to celebrate the return of that bird in these great numbers. We just found it important to keep people safe. We made the decision to cancel the in-person festival. Did some brainstorming and said, what else could we provide? How else could we celebrate the return of this bird to this area?
Life changes and you have to do different things. And life can be a challenge, it can be an adventure, and I'm hoping this is a different adventure for everybody.
Watch the Sandhill Cranes and the latest Greater Chattanooga online on YouTube and at greaterchattanooga.org. You're listening to Scenic Roots. More in a moment.
This is Scenic Roots this afternoon from Asheville with her guitar and clawhammer-style banjo. This is singer Nikki Talley with her musical partner and husband, guitarist Jason Sharp, playing a set in the Isis Music Hall in Asheville a few weeks back in May. Like the rest of us, Nikki and her husband are just so happy to be back.
To do a spiritual song to really awaken all the demons. So. Come on! So this is a song I used to sing a lot with my mama, and I sang this at people's funerals and stuff. That's the weirdest place to sell a CD, by the way.
Which has happened.
It was weird. It was like I was having a trunk show, man. Like, somebody was very moved by the version of this song that I did, which is super sweet, but they were like, this might be really tacky, but do you have any CDs? And I said, this might be even tackier. Yes, I do. And I'd love to sell you a couple. So I opened up the trunk of my car, and then, like, it was like a yard sale. It was great. And I know it's not nice to get people while they're grieving, but, you know. You gotta grieve sometime. You might as well have a nice little soundtrack to it, you know.
Thank y'all.
It's all right. All right, I'm all. Whoever made that button is just quality. None of us have been out in a while, so we're kind of excited to be seen, I guess. Anyway. All right, so play a couple banjo tunes for you now, and thank y'all so much for taking the time out of your weekend. It's a Sunday night. You guys should be getting your act together for Monday, but we really, really appreciate y'all hanging out with us this evening, and I know it's been a really tricky time trying to figure out where's safe, and you know, we too have been very choosy about where we've been playing, and we absolutely love Scott Moody and Lil and his family in this beautiful space right here in Western North Carolina. We're so grateful to have do this song, kind of a little sad one, and then I'll do an upbeat sad one. And he tells her things that he won't tell me. Said, "Where's my daughter? She seems so hurt." Yeah, only went upstairs to give her hope. There he found her hanging by a rope. He took his knife, he cut the girl down, and at her bosom, these words he found. And at my breast, how you place the snow white dove, yeah, to warn the world that I died for love, yeah, to warn the world I died for love. I'm going to do a quick banjo song here, and then I'll have Jay come back out. And I got to say, I entered this one in the Telluride Bluegrass competition out there a couple years ago. And, man, I can't believe, I was... really didn't want to win first place because the second place prize was bigger cash money. So the first round I did, I did really, really good because I wanted to make it to the second round. And then once I made it to the second round, you know, I didn't do really awesome because, you know, I didn't want to win. So I kind of did okay. And then I played my cards right and I won second place. So I got $500 and blew it on stupid cowboy boots. What the hell's wrong with me? Oh, girl, I blew them. These aren't them. And believe it or not, you'd be surprised what you can't get for $500 cowboy boots. But, you know, I wanted stuff that had, like, flames coming out of them and stuff, you know. But they were like, yeah, these with some dots on them. And I was like, yeah, okay. But I blew those suckers out. You can't really, they're not, like, really hiking boots. I wore them all the time. I'm hard on things. Just ask Jason. Anyway, this song is called John Avery's Bride. It's about a girl who, it's about a girl who falls for old cheating gambler kind of guy. You know, a real nice fella to bring home to mommy and daddy. It's called John Avery's Bride. John Avery's bride. Oh, but now the world has changed. That boy, he sure grew strange, high and wide. See, when I was about 14, he was the finest thing I'd seen. And I was running barefoot underneath them pecan trees. Yeah, the sun had browned his skin, and that summer's when it all began. Yeah, for John Avery and me. Yeah, when I hid my brother with friends, and he'd come over to play cards again. Yeah, but he was just staring right back at me after that very first hand. It was like something in his eyes was strange. Suddenly that old boy had changed. I am too, man. Well, he said that's the last round, oh, but he smiled. He said, I want to sit right here with you and you. Why? Well, I could just feel the heat rising up in my face. And when he kissed me, it burned my mouth. Is without a doubt, back in those days. Yeah, well, now the summer was as good as it got, 'cause by spring, Johnny, he got shot. He was just drinking and gambling and cheating a little too hard. Oh, and when they put him in that cold ground, babe, nobody made a sound. In that churchyard. Well, that fall need a good diet. The Almighty Father kind of find a son on that day that my Johnny died. Oh, but I was the last girl he made smile, and I hung on to that for a while. And they even called me he. All right, have Jason Sharp come on back out here, and we'll finish up this lovely evening here with you guys. Thank y'all so much for, like I said, being here and hanging with us. What's going on in the green room, man?
Well, Eva is bouncing off the walls. Oh.
nice to have you back.
It's good to be back. It's been a while.
I just want to let you know we have not only a couple of card-carrying members, but we also have the president of the Jason Sharp fan club in the house tonight.
She has stickers.
She brought stickers.
I don't think she brought them. But... they're signed. That means they're down in value now.
Hey, we're a dollar. Now they're 50 cents. Who stole you out here? If I'm until he's done, yeah, but they meet you at the border. The motors, they're all singing, yes, they drag you by your feet. The hangman is in hanging, yes, so they put you on the street. Yeah, you go back, Jack. Turning round and round, back, Jack, did it again. Yeah, you know she's no high climber till you find your only friend. In a room you're a two-timer, and you know you're near the end. I love you, little wild one, yeah, but she you only sorrow, and all the time she's smiling. Oh boy, you'll be on your knees tomorrow. You go back, Jack, do it again. Wheels turning round and round, back, Jack. Doing this song. I'm going to do this song and do one more for y'all. Thank y'all again for sticking around. And of course, it's always a blast playing here at ISIS. Thanks again for having us. And this little song about a lady named Louise.
Mm-hmm. her trade. Sometimes a bottle of perfume. Yeah, some flowers, or maybe some lace. Man brought Louis ten-cent trinkets. Yeah, their intentions were easy to trace.
Sharp, y'all. All right, I do this last song at every show just to leave you off on a very nice, sweet note and a little lullaby here. But thank y'all again for being here. It really means so much. It's pretty overwhelming to have been isolated for so long, and I know everybody's kind of feeling like that. So again, thank you all for being here and being a part of this. It'd be pretty boring and lonely without you. I'd be counting the light bulbs, I think. There's a lot, so I'd probably be entertained. But
lay down, my sweet darlings. Lay down, take your rest. Go and lay your head upon your Savior's breast. I love you all, but God loves you the best. And I bid you good night, sweetheart. I bid you good night. I bid you good night, good night, good night. And I bid you good night, good night. Good night. I'll lay down, my sweet darling. Lay down and take your rest.
Hey, baby. You
wanna come on your Savior's breast. I love you all, but God loves you the best. And I bid you good night. You good night, sweethearts. Here with me at Isis, can you say good night, everybody?
Good night, everybody.
And I bid you
good night one more time.
Good night.
Good night.
Nikki Talley and Jason Sharp from the Isis Music Hall in Asheville. We'll have more from their set, the video of which is on the Isis Theatre Facebook page, next Monday on Scenic Roots here on listener-supported public radio from Chattanooga.
I'm Ray Bassett. Thanks for listening to Scenic Roots. We come to you from WUTC at the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. Email us at scenicroots423@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at scenicroots423. Listen to us online anytime at WUTC.org and the WUTC app. For Richard Winham and the rest of our team, join us again next time for Scenic Roots.